Well, praise God. That was... God bless all you young people. I'm thrilled with your fervent love for the Lord and your love for souls. It came out very much this morning as you shared. God bless you. God bless you for your work and ministry of love to those souls in New York City. Eternal souls you were ministering to. Amen. All right, why don't we stand for a word of prayer? Father, we bless your name. Truly holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Father, we thank you that your glory is manifested in creation. Your glory is manifested in all around us, Father. And we thank you. But also we thank you this morning, Lord, that your glory is manifested in and through our lives. Thank you, Father, for manifesting your glory through these young people yesterday and all that went up there to New York City. Father, we thank you and praise you that the glory of the Lord went forth and people seen the joy of the Lord in these lives that went up there. Father, we just bless and praise your name for that your joy is our strength and that we have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost through the salvation that you have wrought in our hearts. Truly, Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you're our friend. Like Brother Rodney shared. Thank you, Father. So bless this time, Lord, now. Bless this main message here, Father. We pray. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint and bless and unctionize my lips and my heart. Father, that I can share what you've given me, Lord. And Father, I pray that each one of us could go home receiving from you, receiving the word, your words, which are spirit and life. And Father, that we can be changed. Oh God, we look to you in faith and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, welcome everyone to this part of the service. Yesterday I was at home preparing this message. Brother Denny, if I would have known you were here this morning. I thought Brother Denny was traveling and I had to ask Mark and Dean at Ephrata if they could preach this morning. And I'd ask Brother Paul Lloyd. I wanted to, and Paul was laid up part of the week and he wasn't sure. So I really wanted to go to New York, but God seemed fit otherwise. So amen. Share what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning for us as a congregation here. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Brother Rodney, I was happy for the message that you shared this morning because without that friendship, without that relationship, the message that I have on my heart will not work, and this principle will not be fulfilled in our lives without that glorious relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. This is the title of the message this morning, Enduring Hardness. Just simply enduring hardness. Like I said, without a relationship with Jesus Christ, a vibrant relationship with Him, we will not be able to endure hardness as good soldiers of the Lord. What does hardness mean? Hardness, I looked it up in the Strong's, it means to undergo hardship, be afflicted, endure afflictions, suffer trouble. To undergo hardship. You know, I think of soldiers this morning. Soldiers are prepared to endure hardness as they go to the battlefield. They're prepared. They're prepared for hardship. They realize when they enter into that war zone, there will be hardship. There will be difficulty. There will be pressures and things that they will go through that will be difficult. You know, I seen a picture of a soldier in Iraq, And he was bowed down like this. I don't know if he was worn out or what, but he was bowed down like this and had a huge load on his back of clothing and I'm not sure goods and perhaps food and supplies and what have you. It was hardship. The heat, imagine the heat that he faced at the same time. I just read an email, something recently that I received that I think it was 112 degrees in Iraq. And so soldiers are prepared for hardship. Hot weather, landmines, all what goes with war. Always needing to be on the alert, being shot at and sometimes wounded. Seeing their comrades wounded and needing to care for them. Truly a soldier's life is one of hardship. And they need to have the vision of enduring for the long haul. Hardness. Enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Is that what Paul's bringing out in a spiritual sense to Timothy? Let's read in 2 Timothy the same chapter here, verses 5 through 12. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Yes, Paul's clearly bringing out that Timothy, you as a worker will experience suffering as you're engaged in this spiritual warfare. And truly, Paul's bringing out here to Timothy, that Timothy, I have set an example for you. I've set an example of suffering. We read that in verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But praise God, he says, the word of God is not bound. You know, we experience suffering. We experience what you youth did yesterday and people refusing to hear the gospel and rejecting what you have to share. But Paul says here clearly, the word of God is not bound. And so Paul is bringing out the example that he has been in this matter of suffering and in this matter of hardship and enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul speaking to Timothy as a young worker in God's kingdom and exhorting him that there will be times of hardness and the need of enduring this. So as we think of Paul's exhortation to Timothy, I'd like to go into the New Testament and look at Paul's example of suffering as he's speaking to this young man, Timothy. Look at his example of enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'd especially like to pick out points that are applicable to us. I know Paul faced many hardships that we don't yet face. Prison, he was beaten with rods and stoned and shipwrecked at sea, and he experienced a lot of hardship and difficulties that we don't yet experience. So I'd like to make the message very applicable to us in our day and where we live. And where we're at in our Christian experience. So Timothy was a young man who was just in the early stages of his ministry. Paul, I think, had just ordained him, and now he was sending him. Now he was moving out into ministry, and this was Paul's exhortation to Timothy at the very onset of his ministry. Timothy, endure hardness. You're going to experience times of hardship, difficulty, experiences that aren't easy, and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So as we think of ministry, involving and us involving ourselves in God's kingdom work, there is also a need to endure hardness. So I'd like to go down 4 points in this area of hardness and what it means to endure this in our Christian experience. Point number one. To endure hardness is to be one who endures the pressures of life. That's point number one. As we consider enduring hardness, to endure hardness is to be one who is able to endure the pressures of life. You know, what does it really mean to endure? When I think of enduring, I think of you're in it for the long haul. You know, a soldier is in it for the long haul. He's in it for through the thick and the thin. He's in it when the times are rough. He's in it when he's back home with his comrades and it's a little bit easier. But he's in it for the long haul. He's just plodding along through the thick and the thin, through times of being shot at, through pressures and difficulties and walking over the mountains to try to spy out the enemy, rough weather. This is the first point here. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. And remember, again, it's a command of Paul to Timothy. Remember, this is a command to endure hardness. We are to endure hardness as soldiers of Jesus Christ. And that's, you know, just like the soldier in the army, so we are commanded as soldiers to endure hardness as soldiers of our commander, Jesus Christ. Let's turn back to our text in Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him." And I'd just like to look at this principle of the life of Christ being manifest through death. Through death, through the pressures of life, through our dying to ourselves and through moving through trusting Christ, through the difficulties and experiences that we go through where we experience hardship. Death produces life. And I believe that's the principle that Paul's bringing out here to Timothy. It is a faithful saying. Timothy, it's a faithful saying. If you are dead with Him, if you're dead with Him, you will also live with Him. If you are dead, if you remain at that place where you are wholly dependent upon the Lord, the life of Christ will come forth. And that's what the pressures of life produce, dependency upon our Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians for this point here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I know we know this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll just read down through these verses here through verse 10. Now remember, when I'm talking about ministry this morning and being involved in God's kingdom work, I'm not talking about us as elders and ministers. I'm talking about us as a body. We are all called to be ministers, able ministers of the New Testament. So Paul says here to the church at Corinth, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So here Paul is clearly bringing out to the church at Corinth. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may not be of us, but of God. And then he goes down and shares with the church there how that persecutions and troubles and distresses bring about that excellency of the power of God. And in fact, he says, look at what he says in verse 10, always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our bodies. So as you consider the pressures of life, maybe you're thinking, you're thinking of homeschooling here in the next few weeks, and you're thinking of various things that you're involved in, your children, plus the temptations you face in your own spiritual life, the challenge of discipline in your own walk with the Lord. And then you think, well, how can I ever be involved in ministry besides that? God uses all these things to pour out the life of Christ through you. These pressures, these difficulties, this pain, these temptations, these trials, they're meant to make you an able minister of the New Testament. That's what the heart of God is. They're meant for that. They are meant to help, they are meant to cause you to completely trust in the Lord. That you're always at a place of total dependency upon your God. And thus the life of Christ is manifest. Always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus. Always. Paul says always. That was his experience. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And I feel like I'm beginning to learn this principle. I can't say I'm without fail, but before the tent meetings, I was under distress. I just admit, Satan was lashing out against me with temptations, and I just moved on in faith. God has worked that in my heart, and is still working, but I just moved on in faith, and God came through. He came through with all the... I was perplexed. But praise God, I was not in despair. And that's the heart of God through difficulties. That's the heart of God, is that, yes, we can go through perplexities. We can go through our distresses or troubles. But He says we're not distressed. We're not at a place where we're just giving up and discouraged and down in the slough of despondency. No. These things are meant to cause us to trust in the Lord. And thus God comes through. And that is the principle. That is principle number one I'm trying to bring out, is that through this hardness, through this enduring of hardness, when these trials come, forthwith comes the life of Christ from them, as we take them the right way. So this morning, as we think of being a good soldier in the battlefield of our Lord, it's very important that we take these trials the right way, and that we look at them and trust in the Lord through them. And forthwith, like I said, comes forth the life of Jesus Christ. Okay, point number... Let me just read this yet. I have a notation here. Let's have this mentality as a soldier, that by God's grace I will endure through the thick and the thin. I will at all times have my heart engaged in the work of God. I will have my heart engaged as a soldier in whatever God calls me to. I will have my heart engaged. And I will have this mind of a soldier, and that is that I'm in it for the long haul or until the battle's over. Praise God. Okay, point number two, principle number two. To endure hardness is to be one who studies God's Word. Let's go to back to our text in Timothy. Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Here Paul exhorts Timothy and says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I know you may say to yourself this morning, what does that have to do with hardness? What does studying the Word of God have to do with enduring hardness as a good soldier? Well, I believe it does have something to do. You know, a soldier needs to study the war manual. He must strive lawfully. And to study is laborious. I mean, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, much study is a weariness of the flesh. And also says about those who are involved in ministry that they're to labor in the Word and doctrine. And I find study is difficult. It's not easy. And so in being a good soldier and enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we must remember to study the war manual, to study God's Word, to get in there and to, you know, as a soldier, we're involved in, yea, God's business, God's kingdom work. We're involved in that. Our hearts are engaged. But we must strive lawfully, the Bible says. And that means studying strategies, studying ways that, so that we might be able to minister to that soul we're endeavoring to bring through a trial or a difficulty in his or her life. It's a part of hardness. It's a part of getting down in there and going through the monotony sometimes of study. You know, I think again of how it is when we buy a new item or something from Walmart or a shopping center and it comes in a big box. And for me, I'd almost despise going through the instructions, you know, how to put that thing together. It just takes so long. You have to figure every... I remember putting the swing set together for my mother and father-in-law about 2 years ago. I mean, it took me all day to put it together. It was just, you know, you had to study every little part and where does this nut belong and this bolt and, you know, some had different lengths and different sizes and different threads perhaps. And so it was a long, laborious... affair there. But that's God's heart, is that we would study so that we can ably put the pieces together with a soul that you're ministering to or in a work that you're involved in, that you'll be an able minister. And that's Paul's command to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that at the end does not need to be ashamed. Because he's rightly divided the word of truth. He's striving lawfully. So endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ through study, through studying God's Word, getting in there and understanding the heart of God behind a matter or a soul that you're seeking to help. You know, how do I help him? Study the principles of God's Word. So yes, part of being a worker in God's kingdom is understanding battle strategies, understanding how to minister to the souls of men, understanding effective prayer, understanding how to disciple new believers, understanding how to bring the gospel to the lost, understanding how to point a soul to freedom in Jesus Christ. And as we study and then engage our hearts in a specific area of ministry, we'll not be ashamed at the end, having striven to help this person and having striven according to the manual. You know, Paul was a man of the Word. It's very apparent that Paul was a man of the Word as he ministered to the souls of men. He knew the Old Testament. He was trying to reach his Jewish friends, his Jewish nation. And time after time, he would go back to the Old Testament and use the Old Testament to point them to Christ, to show them that this is the Messiah, this is the one the Old Testament prophets and writings were talking about. And Paul understood. Paul knew the Word of God. He was a man of the Word as he ministered to the souls of men. So yes, study is a part of enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Study, understanding, getting down in there and opening up that war manual and studying the principles of and strategies of how I should go about this ministry that I'm involved in. Okay, number three. To endure hardness is to not be offended. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 for this one. Let me read verses 1 through 11. Again, here Paul mentions, these are workers together with him. And he's exhorting them concerning the work of the ministry. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet alway rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You know, part of enduring hardness is this very thing here. When you're evil spoken against or accused, Paul says here, giving offense in nothing. Or how does he say? Giving no offense in anything. So, and I think of that scripture in Psalms. It says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So as we think of the work of the ministry, as we think of being a soldier of Jesus Christ, and involving ourselves in the warfare, in the work, in the kingdom work. We have a commander, Jesus Christ, and this is the war that He has us in. And that is being involved in God's kingdom work for the good of the souls of men, for the good of the body, here in our own local congregation and universally for that matter. But here it's very clear that if you want to be a worker of God's kingdom, there is a need to endure hardness. I'm saying an effective worker, God's kingdom. There is a need to endure hardness in this matter of offense. Are you one who gets offended when people speak about something wrong they see in your life, or maybe you're wrongly accused? Again, giving no offense. Giving no offense. No offense. Great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. So, as you're involved in the work of God as a soldier, do you hold grudges? Do you hold something against someone? A soldier knows he dare not be battling against his comrade. It might cost his life. Might cost his life. He knows that he has to work together with him and engage their... They know that they need to be a unit working together and moving forward in oneness. And he dare not let things come between them in the midst of the battlefield. Is there an offense that you're holding that is keeping you from engaging your heart in the work of God's kingdom? Paul brings in here that one who wants to endure hardness cannot be giving out offenses. And the church at Corinth, was not an easy church to work with. Paul, again, was setting an example here. You know, the church at Corinth was somewhat blaming Paul, and he had to bring them around again, and they weren't easy to work with. But Paul says here, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. And I'm not just saying us as elders. I'm including all of us who are involved in ministry. And each one of us as believers should be engaged in ministry to the local body and to the souls of men who are lost. Let's remember that it's one thing to work through things as soldiers of the Lord and as the body of Christ, but it's another thing to hold offenses. You know, there is things to work through. There's things to work through sometimes. There's things that, you know, maybe we don't quite agree with each other. We don't quite see it eye to eye. And yes, there's things to work through, but there's another thing to hold offenses, hold grudges, and hold things against an individual. So that's point number three, is to endure hardness, is to not be offended. I mean, as we look at this down through the verse here, it says, in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. You know, in patience, as you minister to a soul and you're maybe wrongly accused or as you minister to a soul, there's a need of patience as you work with him. Maybe him or her is having a difficult time coming through and you want to get impatient and push and begin to try to minister in the flesh, and you begin to minister in the flesh. Again, giving no offense as a minister of God. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. You know, the Bible says one place, woe to him that when all men speak well of you. You know, so there is times when we face things that from, you know, from people or things that we go through with individuals who maybe there's something someone has against you. Again, an evil report or good report as unknown and yet well known. We continue to live a life void of offense. Void of offense as a minister of God. That is part of enduring hardness. And that's point number three, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Point number four, to endure hardness, is to look out for the good of the whole body. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 for this one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then I'd like to turn yet to Hebrews also. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, we'll start reading in verse 10 through 15. For God is not unright, let me start reading verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Let's go yet to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, and then I'll come back to keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 6. But 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28.
I'm sorry, I'm 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So in this need, in this point number 4, which is to endure hardness, is to be looking out for the good of the whole body. You know, we see that in Ephesians. In that soldier that needs to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6, the command there is to pray always with all prayer and supplication for all saints. Be at the place where you're ready to minister to those in need in the body, to pray for them. When you see a soul going through a need, yes, it might be sometimes in an importune hour when you would rather, when you're engaged in other things. You know, again, Paul says very clearly there to the church at Ephesus, watch for the good of the whole body. That is part of enduring hardness. That's part of enduring hardness on the battlefield, is watching for the good of each other. You know, on the battlefield, when one is wounded, they risk their lives to carry that wounded one back to the camp. They'll risk their lives at times. And so, let's remember that as a body, the need to endure hardness means to care for one another, to love one another, to get in there. Those soldiers at times, I'm sure that, you know, they'll put a fellow soldier over their back and there's blood stains all over their uniform. It means getting down in there sometimes where there's blood and where it hurts. And carrying that burden. Remember, the Bible says clearly in Galatians that if we are to be spiritual, it means to bear one another's burdens. And thus we fulfill the law of Christ. So it means bearing a burden. It means carrying that wounded one. Or ministering to that one who's thirsty or hungry. I'm sure soldiers, if they're out on the battlefield and they have some supplies, such as food and water, and the other one has run out, they'll share with their fellow soldier. Again, they know that they need him. They'll share their canteen of water with him. They know that I need that one to be right by my side. I'm in a war. And so are we, brothers and sisters. We need one another. I know that during the tent meetings, I was coming up to the time when I needed to preach the message there on root causes of depression. And like I said, I was going through a rather difficult time before the tent meetings. And I asked for prayer, and I could feel that Saturday morning when I woke up that people were praying for me. And it just, God came through, and we need each other. Sometimes we're targeted by the enemy. Sometimes we're a target, and we need to pray and intercede for one another and lift one another up to the throne of grace. Remember that that is the need most of the time, rather than pushing him away and saying, well, why don't you get on with it. Why don't you just, you know, why don't you learn your lesson? Most times it's the encouragement that is needed to bear that burden and to lift that person to the holy throne of grace wherewith we can enter boldly and intercede for that individual. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6. I love this passage here. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He's talking, and again, I believe Paul wrote this book here from what it appears like. And it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Then he goes down through, and I love this. You know, he brings in Abraham. He shows us Abraham in this passage. He says Abraham was blessed of God through his patient endurance. Abraham had been promised a son, and he was promised a great nation from the loins of his son. And it says, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And I like this. It's in the context of ministry. I believe the heart of God is saying here, brother, sister, as you minister to the souls of men, patiently endure. I will come through to that individual that you, that blessing is coming yet for that one you're working with. Blessing is coming as you patiently endure. He says, be not slothful. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So remember that we are called to be ministers. Paul says here, like I said, you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Sometimes it's laborious. Sometimes it's enduring hardness. Sometimes it's getting up maybe in the middle of the night to someone who is in need and giving him counsel or direction for his spiritual life. It's not always easy. Enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as you consider this matter of laboring for the good of the whole body. So as we think this morning, you know, of enduring hardness, let's remember that as a soldier of Jesus Christ, you know, Paul brings out very clearly to Timothy, it says, endure hardness as a soldier, not like a soldier. He says, endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. So let's remember, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. If we are born again believers, we are called to be a soldier. And so, this morning, you are a soldier. Are you going to take up your weapons? Are you going to endure hardness? Are you going to join into the army and move forward as one unit? All of those things we need to consider as we are a soldier. It says, as a soldier of Jesus Christ. So let's remember this morning that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we need to remember these points that we've shared together here this morning of enduring hardness. Let's go back to our text in Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. And let's just read down through these verses yet in closing here. Paul's command to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's the command. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Again, are you entangling yourself with things, with weights, and the affairs of this life, whether it's business, whether it's pleasures, whether it's things and any weight that is pulling you down, that is a weight or a besetting sin that is pulling you down from being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The command is that we're not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life, that He may please Him who has chosen Him to be a soldier. Who has chosen us? Jesus Christ has chosen us to be a soldier. And we can be pleasing to Him as a good soldier. As we void ourselves from getting entangled in the affairs of this life. Then it says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Again, I've gone through that. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And there we see Paul. He says, I am willing to endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain salvation in Jesus Christ. And I think that's more than just salvation in the sense of the gospel, but it's also for the good of the body, that in that day when the Lord returns, we may experience
the salvation of our body and spending eternity with Him. Then He says, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead, we shall also live with Him. Again, the death and life principle. As we allow ourselves to go through death, hardness, suffering, difficulty, pressures, pain, trials, forthwith comes life, the life of Christ, as you wholly depend upon the Lord. Like I said, you can go two ways. It can discourage you and dishearten you, or you give up, but it can produce the life of Christ. And it will, as you trust Him. Then it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Praise God. As we endure hardness, hardness is suffering. Enduring hardness is suffering. It's not easy. It's suffering. But the promise is we shall reign with Him. And I'm not sure if that means, I think maybe it means in the day when, you know, when Christ returns, we will reign with Him in that day. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging that before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Then I'll close with this verse here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So let's remember this morning to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Like I said, as a soldier, we're not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. We're to strive lawfully. We're to endure hardness so that we can please Him who has chosen us to be a soldier. Christ Jesus, our commander, the one who has chosen us and put us into the place, right into the uniform. He's put us right into that uniform of being a soldier. Do you want to please Him as a good soldier? 2 Timothy lays out how you can please the Lord in being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless. That's all I have this morning.
Thank you, Brother Mel, for that reminder to us of what it means to be a minister. Sometimes ministry or ministering can be presented in a glamorous way, or a way that is maybe it's prestigious or something. I know I've looked at it that way, especially as a young Christian. But the reality is that ministering is dying. If you're going to minister to somebody, there's going to be a death. You youth at New York City yesterday, you had to open your mouth. And there was a death. You had to die to, what is this person going to think about me? Or how am I going to look? You opened your mouth. I remember years ago, I worked on a golf course. Before I was saved, and there was a young guy there that was a Christian. And one day we were sitting around weeding some sand traps, and he opened his mouth to this group of three or four guys that weren't saved, and he told us about Jesus. And later on, he lost his job there because he wouldn't go to work on Sunday. And they declared that if you don't work on Sunday, you're not going to work here. He died. And that left a testimony to me. I may not have got saved right then and there sitting weeding the sand traps, but there was a death. That was ministry. And I wish I could somehow communicate with him now, because he doesn't know what that meant. He may probably never know until eternity. And we don't know either. So many of you, yesterday I was inspired by you youth, and seeing you up there and hearing your testimonies, that blessed me so much. Encouraged me. And you inspired me to want to serve the Lord more. But you don't know what those words did that you said yesterday. And you don't know what countries they'll go to. God will take those things and use them, no doubt. So ministry is death. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So when we look at ministry that way, that's the right way to view it, so that we're not surprised when we get abused, when we get hurt. If you go to try to help some demon-possessed person get free, guess who's going to get the brunt of those demons? You. You're willing to do that. And as you go to help somebody who has a bunch of baggage in their life from their time before they knew Jesus, somebody's got to bear the brunt of that baggage, don't they? Somebody's got to die. And that's not easy. Thank you for that reminder, Mel. May we all gird up the loins of our minds that we don't have a wrong view of ministry. But we see it for what it is, not running from it, not shrinking back, but enduring it to see the glory that is to be revealed through it. Peter said, "Think it not strange, beloved, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." What is that? 1 Peter 4. "As though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." His glory may be revealed. We may think of that as, well, maybe at the end of the age or something. And that's true. But His glory may be revealed through your sufferings here on earth also. I was blessed how everything came together here today, all the messages. You know, the first message speaking about the friendship we have with Jesus. And then the family verses. Faith. How does Jesus dwell in our hearts? By faith. Ephesians chapter 3. By faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And as we're walking in that faith, we can endure the dyings, the sufferings, and He can be glorified. Maybe somebody has a testimony that you can share today. Raise your hand if you have a testimony that you'd like to share with us. Anybody?
I want to just praise the Lord this morning. He's so good to us. I want to lift Him up. He's precious. And for all that He's done for us, I'm just been time and again experiencing His love for me. Not only knowing it, but experiencing it different times. And like Mel shared, to endure through the hard times, Jesus Christ comes through every time. And I just want to praise Him today for that love. So, and gives me the joy. It was a blessing yesterday too. And so, I know only a little bit of His love. Just a little. There's so much more. So, pray for me. God bless you.
I was very, very blessed this morning. Starting out with the devotional, Brother Rodney just ministered to my heart, and I wasn't sure if I should get up right after the service, but maybe I should have. But I was thinking about it this morning. As I woke up, I just felt like God's been trying to speak to me over the past few days about just kind of small promptings in my heart. And this morning, I just brought it to Him. and laid it all out before God and just opened my heart to Him and said, Lord, you know, my greatest pleasure, my greatest joy is when I'm absolutely surrendered to You, when You have everything, when there's nothing between. And I just felt like, okay, there's a small issue that we need to deal with. And just remembering back, it just brings so much joy to my heart even now, even though it was a couple hours ago. I just opened my heart to the Lord, and just that surrender took place. And I said, Lord, whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened a week ago, would You wash me of that? Would You just cleanse me of that? And then the word justification came to my mind, and my mind immediately went to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, which is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. Lord, can I be justified? Can I really be justified as if I had never sinned? Perfectly pure, holy. And the Word of God was true. And I just opened my heart to the Lord and sought that. And the peace that flooded my soul, the peace and the blessing that overwhelmed me, just brought tears to my eyes as I realized that this moment something miraculous happened. The God of heaven reached down and showed me His love, accepted me, washed me, cleansed me. It was just an amazing, incredible thing. Once again, a miracle that we can't explain, but somehow God did. God is so good. I was very blessed this morning with all the messages. Brother Mel, that's even something God has been dealing in my own heart with. Enduring hardness. You know, I want to be able to do that. I want to march forward, my eyes on Christ, and being willing to endure anything He brings to me. One of the team members have a statement that I think we've taught them over the years that kind of flows along with that. Where He leads me, I'll follow. What He feeds me, I'll swallow. And I know that we've heard that before, but actually when you take that to a context like Africa and you sleep out in the bush and you eat the food there, suddenly it's so different. It makes sense. Okay, God has sanctioned this. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I think it also applies to when God takes us through a difficult time. Lord, what You feed me, I'll swallow. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Right up here. Anybody else? Get your hand up over in the middle.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can say all the things that are in my heart here, but I just want to bear testimony to the message this morning, Brother Mel's message. That's the way it is. It may seem a little odd to you, but all through the message, my mind kept going back to when I was a youth. And may seem odd for me, but we played football all the time when I was a youth, my buddies and I. And football is a very physical game. I mean, you never know what's going to happen to you when you're playing football. You can be running with that ball, and the next thing you know, you get hit broadside and you're on the ground. And there's a lot of pain in football. But we played football every weekend. And we loved it. It was fun. The point I'm making is we knew what football was all about. And we found joy in it because we expected that we could get hit broadside anytime and just go rolling across the ground and limping on our foot afterwards. That was just the way it was. And we enjoyed it. And so I think of the youth and the beautiful example you were here this morning to us. But I think you found joy in what you did yesterday because you expected some of that rejection that Karen was speaking about. You expected to be out of your comfort zone. You expected that God would help you when you got out of that comfort zone. And because of that, you enjoyed the day and you came back rejoicing. And somehow God must help us to see that this is just the way ministry is, and enjoy it.
Yes, I also want to thank everybody, especially all the youth, for the acceptance that I felt yesterday and just the encouragement that I got through all that. And it was a very stretching experience for me also, and I was very blessed. And the message that Rodney had this morning really blessed my heart. And may I just keep dying to this life here on this earth and live more for Jesus. And I really covet your prayers for this upcoming Sunday. I probably won't be here. I've really felt the friendship here. And I'm planning on going to my parents' church there next Sunday. They asked me to come, and I guess just asked me to come, and I'd been thinking of what I could say, but I know it's foolish, and I just want to, I'd take any counsel as to how I should respond to them, and I just ask you all to keep me in your prayers. And thank you. God bless you.
Let's pray for Samuel. Let me all stand. Will somebody lead out in prayer? And we'll all pray and agree together.
Father in heaven, I ask the Lord that you would just pour out divine grace.
Amen, Father. Oh, God.
Enabling grace, Father.
Yes.
The quickening power of your Holy Spirit.
Amen, God.
I pray, Father, that your fleshly feelings and desires that they would be totally submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. That he would only speak those things that are according to your will.
Yes.
I do pray, Father, that there would be a peace and a rest overwhelming him. I pray, Father, that he would have a sense that he belongs to you. And, Father, I pray that in the coming weeks, Lord, in the coming week, that when Satan would want to come and try to trip him up and make him feel like he has nothing to say, Father, I pray that there be a circle around about him, sheltering him and protecting him and guiding him. And, Father, that in meekness and in godly fear, he would go with your peace as a testimony. Father, we bless you and just thank you and commit him into your hands in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Are there any other testimonies? Any others? Raise your hands. Maybe one of the sisters.
Yes, I have a few things there. There is actually two other families that are called in front of the council today in one church district over here, just a few miles from here, actually. So, very young Christians. One's maybe about a year in the Lord, and the other one's something like that. I'm not exactly sure when they were converted, but it's a real shock for both of them. So I think we want to keep them in prayer. The one is Sam and Rosanna Stolzis, and the other is John and Sarah Fisher. So I want to keep them in your prayers. The other thing, I was struck by the message this morning by Rodney Nold, and I just, the thought of just brought me to realization that I had, I wasn't enjoying the friendship of Jesus as I had at one time. And then when Brother Paul asked for a testimony of somebody who has a testimony of Jesus' friendship in the last week, it really struck me that there's a whole room full of us, and not one of us could give a testimony to God's grace or friendship experience in the last week. And I'm sure there's many of you here that could, but I just was challenged to really just learn to appreciate more the friendship of Christ and share it with others around me, and just encouraging. Oh, just a stop and think about it a little bit. I think sometimes have we become so religious that, you know, we just go through the motions. And so I just felt blessed and challenged and cut to the heart. I just feel like I have some repenting to do for my lack of love and commitment. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for sharing. Would you lead us in prayer for those two families? Let's pray together.
Father, we lift up these dear brothers and sisters that have been coming to our meetings recently, Lord, and just the joy on their faces. And Father, thank you, Father, for bringing them through to salvation, and just the marvelous grace that you have shown them, Father, and just both families that I've known for years, and just the change is just so awesome, Lord. I just thank you, Father, for what you've done there, Lord. And Father, we know it's hard. We walk through those difficult times ourselves, and we know it's hard, but we also know that your grace is sufficient. And it's when we are weak, you are strong, Lord. So we just thank you for that promise, Lord. And we just pray that you would be there for Sam and Rosanna and John and Sarah this morning, Lord, as probably in just a few minutes or so, half an hour, maybe they'll be called in front of the council. Father, we pray that you would give them strength, Father. And I just thank you, Father, for the work that you've done in Sam's heart as he had didn't think he would go, but just at the right time, you just ministered to his heart that he needs to go and testify for you, Father. So I just thank you, Father, for that. And Lord, I just pray that you would put the words in his mouth. I know you can, and I know you will, Lord. I just look back at the times when you have showed yourself so strong for us, Lord. And we just pray that you would do the same for our brothers and sisters that are going through this hard time now, Father. We pray that you would cut through all the religious things that they want to bring before them and just bring it bare right down to the relationship with you, Father, that they have. We just pray that you would just testify in them, Lord, the love and the grace that you've shown them, Father. We just commit them to your hands, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. I'm blessed by the service this morning, and I actually want to share what God has laid on my heart since last evening. I was reading through a regional newspaper, and yesterday there was a serial bombing in the city where I came from, and there were several bombs which were being defused, and it was a terror act. And as I was seeing through those pictures, like the people, the dead bodies laying there with head blown and hands and legs blown out, it was quite close to the place where my house is, where my parents stay. And as seeing through those pictures, I really came to the realization, like, how weak and vulnerable we are. We just go about life thinking we are secure. And then after seeing those situations or those pictures, I came to the realization that we are really very weak and vulnerable. And I saw a picture, like there was a man laying there. Suddenly it came to me, like, it might be my brother. So immediately I called my parents to confirm that they are safe. And then by God's grace, they are safe. And then the Lord has been laying in my heart, like, since few months I have been thinking, like, I don't really have burden for my parents and my brothers who are not yet saved. And I am trying to pray, and I don't really continue with that burden. And after yesterday and even today's youth sharing and Brother Mel's message, I really came to the realization that I don't really have to wait to that point where all my pressures and my weaknesses are gone. Even in these weaknesses and the pressures of this life, I can still be a good soldier to the Lord. I can still share. I can still open my heart and share what God has done in my life, and share that glorious gospel to them, especially in my family. So I'm really blessed by the message this morning, and I pray for you. I ask you to pray for me, for the Lord to work in my heart, especially to die for myself and to open my mouth sharing the glorious gospel. Thank you.
Anybody else raise your hand?
On the way to church this morning, I specifically asked the Lord if there was some thing that I was sleeping that He wanted to waken me. And so I thought that was amazing, Brother Mel's message. I just thank God for that. And I thank God for the two messages complementing each other, because it is a scary thought, the thought of dying daily. But yet, it's an encouraging thought to realize that that's our normal way of life. And then that it's the love of Christ that's going to constrain me to die daily. And so I desire that.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that testimony. Is there any others? Over right over here, in the middle.
I just want to give testimony to the Lord in His goodness and His grace. And I praise the Lord for the word this morning. The brothers that labored in the word, it was a real blessing to my heart. Just so appreciated the encouragement and the lifting up of Jesus being our friend. And that's something the Lord really spoke to me years ago when I really came to know the Lord Jesus and laid down my life for Him. The friendship and the love, just such a beautiful relationship with the Lord. Sort of turning a point here now, and that is in reaching out and ministering to people the beautiful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship we can have with Him. I don't know if any of you saw this, but there was a news article on what the person that is known as Mother Teresa, and it said how that she did not have a peace in her heart. But she just longed to know God. And I don't have the article with me, so I can't get it all word for word. But she was desperate to know God. Said, I feel nothing of His presence. And she was a person who was looked up to as being a very, very much of a saintly person ministering to the poor. And was highly esteemed, you know, by the Catholic Church. But it just hit me that, am I courageous enough to even go up to a very religious person and ask them, do you know what it is to be saved and to have the peace of God rule and reign in your heart? Do you know Him? Do you know Jesus? And, you know, to think like a Mother Teresa, maybe someone could have walked up to her and ask her in her deep longings and searchings, do you know that you can know God? You can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that peace? And so I was blessed this morning and encouraged by the testimonies of the young people. And also speaks to my own heart that to not be fearful to talk to those people and to challenge them and to just ask them, do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY. Or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.